Am I on? Can you hear me? Yes, I am on. I can hear myself. That's great. Well, it's lovely to be back with you again. Good to see you all. Do keep your Bibles open at that passage, Mark chapter 6, verses 45 to 52. And we can follow that through together. I've asked for a picture to come on the screen that I want you to look at. Maybe you saw this in the Olympics. Did anybody see this picture in the Olympics? Wave at me if you saw this picture in the Olympics. A few people, so some of you, it's actually a real picture. So this is Gabriel Medina. He won the gold medal. He's Brazilian. He won the gold medal, and he did a fantastic kind of surf, and he came out of the wave, and he knew he'd done a good wave. So as he came out, he kind of posed in the air like this, and miraculously, his surfboard also stood up, and the French photographer went click, 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 and one of the photographs was this. Well, Gabriel Medina posted that on his Instagram post, and he has had about 9.5 million likes. He's also a Christian, and he put on the bottom of that quote from Philippians, "I can do everything through him who strengthens me." He's a surfer at the top of his sport. He's acknowledging God's help because he won the gold medal alongside a brilliantly timed photograph. Now, of course, the person that Gabriel Medina follows, Jesus Christ, is the man who walks on water. When Jesus does it, it isn't a photo trick. He does it because of who he is and what he wants those who follow him to understand about who he is. So Jesus, in the previous story, he's just had the crowds literally eating out of his hands as he's fed the 5,000. And of course, with those for eyes to see, except nobody did see it, this is Israel's God providing for Israel in the wilderness, just like he did in the Old Testament. Here is Jesus giving people of God bread to eat. And now he's walking on water. Those with eyes to see, what will they see? And in Mark 1 to 8, Mark is asking the question, who is Jesus? In the second half of Mark's gospel, he's saying, what did Jesus come to do? So we're in this phase of who is Jesus? Jesus. And in verses 45 to 52, we're going to find out a little bit more about Jesus. Who is Jesus? He's the one who sees us, he walks towards us, and he gets into our boat. Jesus sees us, he walks towards us, and he gets into our boat. Now, Jesus has dismissed the crowds after the feeding of the 5,000. He's dismissed his disciples. He said, you get in the boat and go over to the other side. And Jesus goes up the mountain or the side of the lake to pray. And you can see that in verses 45 and 46. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat, go on ahead of him to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Now, the first point is this. Jesus sees us. He sees us. A few weeks ago, I was scrolling through Facebook, as you do, as a bad habit, and I noticed a female friend make a post in relation to women who would dearly love to be mothers but had never had, for a whole variety of reasons, the chance to have a child. And of course, for some people, this carries huge pain. And my friend, who is herself a single woman but dearly loves children, she simply said to those who would have loved to have children, I see you. I see you. Those simple words, I see you, indicate an acknowledgement that my friend understood how other people felt. The words, I see you, show real empathy. She relates emotionally to the pain that others feel. The words, I see you, affirm that the struggle of another person has been validated. The words, I see you, show solidarity with the person seen, and they know that they're not on their own. Well, in the middle of the night, Jesus rises from communing with his Father in prayer. He sees his disciples struggling in the middle of the lake against the wind. They think they're struggling on their own, making little progress. They can't see him, but Jesus sees them. Verses 47 and 48. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake. He was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. See, the one who walks on water sees us. Wherever we are, whoever we are, whatever we're doing, whatever we're struggling with or against, now we may feel we're on our own, literally. We may feel we're alone as a small group, just a few of us, like the disciples, working hard but seeming to get nowhere. But Jesus sees us, even in the darkness of the middle of the night, and it's often in the middle of the night that you feel most on your own. Jesus sees us. Just read Mark's gospel. He sees the excluded. He sees the sick. He sees the bereaved. He sees the frightened and the oppressed. He sees those who feel judged by the world. He sees the desires and attitudes of our hearts. He sees the things that bind us and harass us. He sees us in all of our helplessness. Jesus, the one who is in intimate union with his Father, sees us. He understands us. He sympathizes with us. He comes amongst us as one of us. The one who walks on water sees us. Jesus sees you. Secondly, Jesus walks towards us. About 10 days ago in Nashville, you've heard of Bon Jovi, the rock star. Well, Bon Jovi was going into Nashville onto a pedestrian bridge that crosses the river with his team for a photo shoot. And as he was crossing, Bon Jovi saw a woman that other people had walked past, unnoticed. She was on the outside of the bridge, getting ready to jump. So Bon Jovi walked towards her with a female colleague, and he talked her back over the rail and then gave her a hug. He saw her. He walked towards her. And the local police put out a tweet about acknowledging Bon Jovi. He persuaded her to come off the ledge over the Cumberland River to safety. Now, Jesus sees the struggling disciples in the middle of the lake, and he walks, literally walks towards them across the water shortly before dawn. Look at verses 48 to 50, 48b. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them walking on the water. He was about to pass by them. And when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Of course, the only categories the disciples have for describing what they're seeing is in terms of ghosts or sea demons or something. They don't have any other category. They don't have a category of a man who is God, who can walk on water. And Mark, who wrote this gospel, it's acknowledged Mark transcribed Peter's sermons. All his source material is from the Apostle Peter, and he transcribed it. So you can imagine the eyewitness, Peter, saying, well, we were in the middle of the lake. It was like really late, just before dawn. And then suddenly we all saw this ghost-like figure walking towards us across the water. We were terrified. We thought he was going to walk past us. We were like, you can imagine him telling the story. And what Mark does is he takes some of that language and he turns it to his advantage, because he was about to pass by. If you think of the Old Testament, you think of Moses and Elijah. They wanted to see the glory of God, so what does God do? They can't see him face to face, so he hides them in a mountain, and he passes by in all his glory. They see the back of God, and he passes by. Both Moses, he passes by Elijah. Jesus was about to pass them by. Here is the God of the Old Testament, the God of Israel, walking on the water across the sea. The same God that appeared to Moses, the same God that appeared to Elijah. This is who Jesus Christ is. He walks on the water. We sing a song, "There is no one like you, Jesus." Do you know that one? There is no one like you, Jesus, who walks on the water, who speaks to the sea, who stands in the fire beside me. We sing that song. There's no one like you, Jesus. He walks on the water. And he walks towards us. Not only does Jesus see us, empathize with us, sympathize with us, understand us, he walks towards us. He moves towards us to help us. The God of all creation walks towards us in Jesus to show us what God is really like. He's beyond our understanding. He is terrifyingly glorious. He is infinitely mysterious, and yet he's wonderfully near to us. The one who walks on water walks towards us. Even when we think he can't see us, he sees us and he walks towards us. And then finally, thirdly, he gets into our boat. Jesus gets into our boat. A couple of weeks ago, I went to a meeting north of Lincoln. And en route, I drove past RAF Scampton. I don't know whether you know that, on the way up to Grimsby, on that road, where the previous government had planned to use the housing on the RAF base for people arriving on the boats across the channel. And as you drive past RAF Scampton, there's entrances. In the entrances, there are big pickets up. I mean, the properties all there look in pretty poor condition. But a group of people had set up a picket with a big banner saying, "Stop the boats." Now, it's easy to make a slogan. It's much harder to see the real life stories of the people looking to cross the channel in those fragile dinghies. And the expression, "we're all in the same boat," goes back to ancient Greece. It reflects the vulnerability of being together in a small boat in dangerous circumstances. To be in the same boat as other people can be precarious. That's what it means. These disciples, were all in the same boat, working hard together against the wind. Look at verse 48. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. But Jesus sees them, he walks towards them, and he gets into their boat. What does God always say to human beings when they're terrified at his appearing to them? What does he always say? "Take courage. It's me. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." It's on the lips of Jesus there in verse 50. "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." And the words "it is I" literally are "I am," ego eimi in the Greek. The God who appeared to Moses at the burning bush, "Who are you?" "I am." Jesus is saying to his disciples, Mark is making this point, "Take courage. I am. Do not fear." The one who made all things, who walks on the water, gets into our boat. And when he does, everything becomes peaceful. The wind dies down. The disciples are completely amazed, verse 51. But when it comes to Jesus, we're so often like the disciples. We don't see him for who he really is. It says in verse 52, the disciples had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. If they hadn't understood about the feeding of the 5,000, the God of Israel feeding the people of God in the wilderness, how on earth were they going to understand about the walking on the water? They haven't got there yet. Of course, they haven't got, like we have, 2,000 years of church history teaching us that, of course, Jesus is the Son of God. Of course, Jesus is the Messiah. Of course, Jesus can walk on water. We know the story. They didn't have that. But when we see Jesus walking on the water, Mark wants us to know that Jesus is God. He's the creator of all things, who walks on the waves of the sea. There's Old Testament language in the Psalms and Job about God walking on the waves of the sea. And here is Jesus walking on the waves of the sea. He sees us, he walks towards us, and he gets into our boat. In the words of that song, "There is no one like you, Jesus. No one like you, Jesus." So Jesus is good news. That's how Mark's gospel begins, the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus became a human being so that he could literally get into our boat. God has seen us, and in Jesus, he walks towards us. He experiences our life. He experiences the full range of human experience, including rejection and hatred when he was nailed to the cross, where he carries the weight of everything that is dysfunctional in the world. When Jesus gets into our boat, the chaos of the sea, the waves, the wind, they're still before him, and we are in the presence of the one in whom we are totally amazed. There is no one like you, Jesus. So let's bring this into land. Whatever we are going through right now, each one of us, Jesus sees us. Jesus sees you right where you are. And wherever we are right now, Jesus walks towards us. And whatever boat we're in, Jesus wants to get into the boat with us. And only you know what's going on in your life and how that relates to you. But as a church, Holy Trinity, as a whole church, Jesus sees you right now. You're waiting for a new vicar. Jesus sees Holy Trinity. And he's, if you like, he's interceding for you. That's part of the role of the ascended Christ, is to pray. Pray for the church. Pray for his people. He's interceding for you. He sees you. He's walking towards you. And he wants to get into your boat. So we can trust him as we wait for a new vicar that he sees. He walks towards us. And he's thoroughly present with us here. So this morning, let's invite Jesus into our boat. Let's pray together. Now, I'm conscious that as I've been saying this, it may be that you're here as a guest, or you're here for the first time, and you've never really thought about what it means to invite Jesus into the boat of your life personally. You understand what I'm talking about in terms of, yeah, Jesus and the church, and Jesus is in the boat and so on, but he wants to be in your boat. He wants to be in your life. So I'm just going to say a prayer. If this morning you've become convinced that Jesus really is the one who walks on the water, he's God in human flesh, and he wants to get into your boat, respond to him now by inviting him in. I'll just lead us in a prayer. Lord Jesus, we recognize this morning, maybe for the first time, that you indeed are God the Son. You are the one who was involved in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and you've walked towards us. You became one of us as a human being. In fact, you've entered our experience fully. You've even taken away all of our wrongdoing and all those things that muck the world up. Thank you that you've sorted them out by the cross. This morning, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe you died and rose again. This morning, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into the boat of my life by the Holy Spirit and live with me forever, that I would always know your presence, whatever I'm going through, however fierce the storm, that I might know your presence with me today and forever. And Father, more generally, for all of us, that we'd be conscious of your presence with us, whatever we're going through right now. And we do pray once more for the boat that's Holy Trinity, that you, Lord Jesus, would provide the right person to come and lead as vicar. When the advert goes out, there would be some really good applications, and you'd help us discern the right person whom you are calling to this place. And we trust in you, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.